is Art Dirt, Ray Dude, coming to you from New York City. Art Dirt, Ray Dude. Fisher.
What?
Oh, sound American to me. Let me get one.
A lot of them aren't American.
They are?
Aren't.
This can I have one of these?
You can if you give
the intelligence
us
of flowers. It's the hole cut out of the wall.
You want my cut out of flower? Do you want my Whitney card?
Yeah.
Is that a,
why
is that?
That's a Fisher.
That's a Fisher?
Right.
Okay. I paid for it. It's worth something.
Right.
I see. Does that make sense? That has an ID on it?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I see.
Beach.
So this is, what are you doing?
And
essentially,
are
we standing in front of something? The tag's over here. He's hiding. Hold on, so let me get the... You can stay to the left of me.
What I consider to be sort of everyday objects. So I'm using architectural elements, art elements, graphic design elements. And then I kind of remade them. So
we have numbers on this tour?
Things that look like 2x4s sometimes are 2x4s just painted white, and in other instances they're cast in plaster. And other times they're foam covered in plaster. The bottles are cast out of wax. It's like a big mix of materials, but essentially they're construction materials, pretty traditional art making materials. So I wanted
so
to just take those materials
there
as a beginning.
See what this is. This is
and
antenna
this is
audio.
Kind of okay.
I mean, in terms of, I guess it's like a solid state player that you program it.
Yeah, they had
very
the
nice
new ones.
I mean, all things considered.
When I came for Jennifer.
Hello, my name is Nary Ward, and I'm standing in front of my work in the biennial. It's called Glory, and it's a piece from 2004. It's made of oil barrels. There's camera casings.
Ward has created a tanning bed that, with enough time, could give you tan lines in the shape of the stars and stripes of the American flag.
There's UV lights, as well as incandescent lights. And there's actually also an audio element, the CD of How to Teach Your Parrot English. But also this idea coming from even oil steel drums that in Trinidad they're made
into this. Hey, this will work out really nice. Okay. Yeah, that works out good, actually.
I find that the ideas that I trust the most are the ideas that come to me when I am tapped into nature.
Artist Mark Bradford works with materials like Xerox paper, the influence of nature and striking posters, and the organic shapes and lines of Lucas DiGiulio's oversized
the kind of material you might find.
You'll also find telephone component or piece of sculptures and holograms.
I use paper, recycled paper actually, paper that was usually having to do with an event that has passed. I was always fascinated by once an event passed, what happens to that poster when people walk by it 6 months?
Most of
artist
Dan Colin took a break from working on his three boulders
mind,
to speak with us in his
and
studio.
And as I work on them, I just tell the story in detail, but I usually have like the basis of what the story is going to be about when I start the drawing. Some of the objects I use in my drawings are definitely very symbolic to me, but in the Animal Kite Wars drawing, it was an extension of We Will Never Tell You Where.
Okay. Now, why would, Kenneth Anger, but it's like the Rolling Stones. That's Mick Jagger. It's Keith Richards. Was this a film? What is that? Is that Scorpio Rising? What is it? Oh, Icons, Hollywood Babylon, recreation of Lost Billboard for Eric von Stroheim. Okay.
So I make these beaded curtains out of beads and braids, specifically synthetic hair, and then these plastic pony beads. I came to this idea back in 1997 in the woods in Maine, reading about Venus Williams' ascent into the U.S. Open. What I noticed is that they kept talking about her hair and the beads and the braids, more so sometimes than her actual game. And all the other players were complaining that, oh, the beads are going to fall out of her hair, they're dangerous, they're going to go on the court, and we're going to step on them and fall on them. And it was really sort of this moment that made me pause and think, what are they really talking about? Why can't they focus on the game? Why are they focusing on the hair? And then the last thing I thought about was the back of someone's head with an image using the beads and the braids. Okay. There tends not to be any depiction of the body or people in the work, because from where I come from and what my thoughts are is that the materials are sort of the surrogate for the black body, if not my black body, a black body in the environment, in the space, in the image that's being depicted.
What do you think of that?
Artist Leah Plepinski studied woodworking for months to create this large sculpture.
That good, huh?
The four chests, picture frames, and long stretchers with chair caning are all made of hardwood walnut.
Oh, I see what it is. Okay.
You'll also find painted, photographic, and sculptural elements within this woodwork.
So you got some guy with like a parrot, right?
What unifies these individual parts is the influence of Shaker art and culture.
Why is it
the base of the sculpture is made up of four Shaker sewing chests. It's an actual Shaker design that I modified. And I think I started to become interested in Shakers and Shaker drawings because it's like there was this sort of division in their sort of cultural production. Either you had this one side of the Shakers where they were celibate, they're not having sex, they're inventive, it's everyday, it's clean, they invented the flat broom, that's all on one side of the Shaker religion. And then on the other side,
deer with antlers with a crucifix, and then he's got some Jewish stars on him and this and that. But this has some sort of like discussion of, it's kind of like Jewish, but it's also got this kind of Middle Eastern notion of like patterns and screens and, you know, like the Casbah type stuff, and there's a weaving thing that goes in that.
Even though the drawings can be like highly decorative and seem sort of cutesy at points, they're on that side. They're called gift drawings. They're supposed to be
opened
like sort
up,
of
exploded.
Documentation of these visions they have of heaven. And so it was my idea when I first started the sculpture, I thought, because the drawings are always on like this sort of visionary side and the furniture is
like
on the everyday side.
It was cheesy, photograph some 40s cheesy kind of modernist sculpture kind of art moderne.
Curators Philippe Verne and Chrissy Isles discussed the work of artist Steve
really
Perino.
Like,
for us, I think it was very important to pay tribute to the legacy of Steve Perino that
every
unfortunately passed away last year, early 2005, right? January 2005.
So it's kind of like
Steve Perino's black canvases.
Now, what did you say about beads?
They
did you say
operate
like no
somewhere
beads?
Between painting and sculpture.
These are pretty good in terms of beads, remember?
The dark side of the
you said
underground
no beads,
aspect
kind
of,
like, okay,
of Steve Perino's work is balanced by a formalism that recalls going back into art history. You could say the draped forms of Bernini or Baroque painting.
You gotta be careful with beads, you know, you can overuse
them.
And
it's that tension between art historical formalism.
That's kind of nice,
one
actually.
Might say,
I mean,
from Bernini
like
to
for
Malevich,
I mean,
on the one hand, and the East Village on the other, that creates
this
tension
kind of like
in Perino's
this
work.
Kind of like Gauguin.
We're not quite sure
redoing
what we're
Gauguin,
looking at
like updating
on
it,
a
right?
formal or a cultural he level.
All along his career, he was trying to bridge different preoccupations.
Does photographs the things that he does?
First was, can you provide an alternative status, an alternative language to the one of the mainstream. And his strategy to do that was by merging a very rigorous language of, let's say, postmodern abstraction, okay. And he almost exclusively used the color black. And also, he was very involved with underground music, like playing with bands. So he was trying to bridge what was the absolute icon of contemplative pure art, the seek for the absolute spiritual moment in painting.
Oh, wait a minute. Artificial hair? Demolition of the wall and then the kind of fake on him. Oh, wait a minute. This could
maybe
be.
That's what this is.
No.
Dear New York, I wanted to make something
well,
about
like this,
you.
I like this kind of
these works were
hair.
Ordered
okay,
custom made
hair?
From a place called Eastern Color
Sign. Maybe they're stringing it on
using the same materials, the basic colors, graphics, and fonts
like you
that
like
you see in storefronts everywhere
hair.
In New York City.
Weaving process.
Eastern Color Sign is a small shop in Chinatown. They use the sidewalk outside their door to build the awnings,
kind of
often obstructing
the
pedestrian travel.
Identity, artist,
at night, you might see one chained to a lamppost waiting for morning delivery.
With images,
when a business moves out, it's common practice to paint over or cut out the company name and phone number on their awning. As the months go by, old businesses move out and the streets downtown are full of these cut up and blanked out vinyl signs. Sometimes a new business will paste their new information over the old awning of the previous tenant. Eastern Color Sign is always busy and they work fast. They have a limited number of symbols and colors to choose from for a new awning.
Teenage angst type stuff.
He had a piece in that show at Robert Gladstone we saw with
Michael Snow's Sheep Loop is a short film that runs in a continuous loop. You may encounter it in the galleries, in the restaurant, or in the lobby.
It's a thing that you come upon in different locations, which I think affects the way you read it. I was in the Maritimes, and there was a field near where we were staying in a log cabin, where it was a pasture,
China,
and occasionally
Haiti,
sheep
Jamaica,
appeared. And I thought I would like to do something with images of sheep. And one day I set up the camera quite a long, long way away from them, and I saw a group of them eating their way.
So then you got these
they tend
fake,
to follow each other. They were all going in a direction.
So there was one upstairs, which was...
And for some reason, they ate their way towards the edge
so
of the frame.
So this one's like Nicole Kidman.
And they...
The title of this show is Day for Night, huh? Okay.
As an accompaniment to her sculpture, Liz Larner has chosen to read a passage from Joan Didion's book, A
Adam
Book of
McEwen.
Common Prayer.
Okay.
All I can tell you directly about Charlotte Douglas's death is that I sent her body to San Francisco. I had the body put
this.
In a coffin, and I went to the airport with the coffin, and I waited there until I could see for myself the coffin loaded into the hold of the first Pan American flight to leave Boca Grande after the October violence. I wanted to lay a flag on the coffin, but there were no American flags in Boca Grande that week, and in the end, I bought
that's
a child's
really nice.
T-shirt in the gift shop at the airport. This T-shirt was printed like an American flag. I dropped this T-shirt on a coffin as it was loaded into the hold of the Boeing.
Okay. So
I think this T-shirt did not have the correct numbers of stars or stripes, but it did have the appearance of stars and stripes,
painting, you know?
And it was red, and it was white, and it was blue. There were no real points in that either.
Yeah, it looks like a power outlet or something.
This work by Rodney Graham is best appreciated in silence. In a moment, your audio player will pause. You can press play to hear the artist speak about his work before you view it or after.
The work is called Torque Chandelier Release. The work comprises a film projection. The image is that of a rapidly spinning chandelier that's been wound up several hundred times on a wire and simply released. The unwinding of the chandelier is documented on a single roll of 35mm film shot at 48 frames a second with a camera on its side. The piece involves a purpose-built projector that rotates the image 90 degrees and also plays back at 48 frames a second, twice the normal film speed. The work was initially inspired by